Our first feature today is being read by Dorothy Sneasby, looking back on some April Fool's Day stories from yesteryear.
Looking back to a memorable April Fool's Day on the airwaves, Mike Hicks looks back at the fun he had on the radio. With April the 1st recently behind us, I think it is an opportune time to mention that way back in the early 1980s, during my 40-odd year stint at Radio Norfolk, I had in my mind the possibility of doing a special phone-in on All Fool's Day. Although it was only January, I spoke to the then presenter of the programme, Peter Glanville, and he kindly gave me the dispensation to create a programme which coincided with my visit on April the 1st. A programme I hoped sounded credible, but was a spoof. Why I conceived this idea, I have no idea. I soon found out that the idea was much more difficult than I had thought, and I had to involve real people who were up to support me together with planned telephone calls and recordings. The first spoof was a visit to a local auction house to discuss a rare Mariner's ditty box, possibly from a colleague of Lord Nelson. The initial on the rare box was O and another O, believed to belong to Oliver Oxnead, a shipmate of Horatio. The specialist at the auction house also agreed, live on air, that this was a very rare object, and any artefacts relating to Nelson are always highly collectible. And this small box or tin was very likely to have come from Nelson's flagship. The initials were interesting on the top of the box, as Oliver Oxnead had a middle name as well, Xavier. Therefore, the initial on the top of the box read O-X-O. It was an OXO tin. Local author, the late Mary Nowak, an expert on bygone kitchen utensils and kitchenalia, joined in, and I asked her why there was a sudden demand for early Tupperware. She suggested the orange-coloured items were very rare indeed and valuable, and they should be treated with great care and put into china cabinets for safety. Again, this sounded very plausible, with Mary contributing in such a firm way, but of course, there is no value to them whatsoever. I then reported we had a telephone call from a lady in the Wisbeach area who had bought a silver teaspoon at a car boot sale. The silver hallmark was quite correct, bearing the lion, which refers to the fact it is 0.925 pure silver. Normally, the lion has a stance in its gardant or passant. On this occasion, incredibly, the lion was standing with his arm or leg akimbo and could be worth hundreds of pounds, as this stance was unrecorded. Afterwards, we had several people phoning in to say they thought they had found similar spoons, but of course no such thing existed. The most daring spoof was to try and find an authentic Swedish male who could speak to me live on air. I know of the Swedish shipping firm in Great Yarmouth, Frans Mass, so I visited them and asked if I could speak to somebody in their headquarters in Malmö. This they provided, and subsequently I phoned him with my idea, which he was very pleased to go along with. On the day of the broadcast, Peter Glanville never flinched when I said, can you please phone this Swedish number? At around 11:40 a.m, he duly did this. To my Swedish accomplice, I then asked, how come there is so much early oak furniture from the 18th, 17th, and even 16th century surfacing in the auction markets in Belgium and Holland? It seemed to have been surfacing in large amounts, and I am not quite sure where it is coming from. Are you aware of this? My Swedish friend replied, yes, it is coming from this country. I asked, how is it possible that rare items like this can still be found? He replied, it has been made in the local forests to the historic designs and constructed in the historic way. But how is it aged, if it is new? Well, he said, it is buried in dugouts, large pits, and put in the pits, and covered with moose dung, If the items are left buried for 1 month, they age 100 years, 2 months, 203 months immersed in this material. It makes it 300 years old. I said it must be very difficult to tell from the real thing. How does one find out if it is genuine? If you have doubts as to the age of the item, there is a simple answer, my Swedish chum replied. All you have to do is to go to the underside of the item and scratch and sniff. I can just imagine how many people were looking through their silver spoons and Tupperware and scratching and sniffing their oak furniture in order to find out whether this was all true. I am forever grateful to Peter Glanville and David Clayton who permitted this to go out on air, and the repercussions are sometimes remembered.